Right now, we're going to put our minds, our thoughts on Jesus alone. For he instituted a covenant relationship sealed and symbolized the shedding of his own blood. That before that time, they recognized covenant of the Passover. And during the time of the Passover, after they finished, Jesus did something very special and different, which established a new covenant in his blood. This covenant is everlasting, for his blood never loses its power. So no more sheep or goat, no more rams or oxen need to be placed on an altar, our blood used for the remission of sin. Because the blood of Jesus has permanently covered the offering, the mercy seat, and our sins are forgiven. And the penalty for our sin, he took upon himself. So right now, I just want us to get our minds clear. If you got bills, they'll be there when you get through. You got issues, unless God does something, and he can right here. They'll be waiting for you when you leave. But at this time, he says, we need to have our minds only on him and what he did for us. For in establishing a new covenant, not based on the execution of rules, but based on the grace that God has given, so that I believe that I'm his righteousness, because his word says I'm his righteousness. I believe my sins are forgiven because he said my sins are forgiven. So by faith now, we know that we are no longer walking dead, but we're forever alive. Even when we take off this garment called a body, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Today we're going to create the atmosphere as the deacons will be preparing and taking the symbol of God, of Christ's body and blood. We're going to have our Lord's Supper as we show the presentation of the Lord's Supper on the screen. He will administer through video. We will be prompted by video, and we will act accordingly. First, let me pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity, the privilege of being counted among the saved and being allowed to take this covenant meal that represents your body and blood. Thank you for your death and your resurrection, which allows us to be forever alive. I pray it as we offer it. We thank you in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. There are only one qualifier as far as I'm concerned. We don't care if you label yourself Baptist or Methodist or whatever label you choose to attach. If you are a member of the Church Universal, and the qualifier for that is you understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You understand he gave his life for us, and you have received him as your personal Savior. If you have that much, then I welcome you to take part in this communion service. Amen. Amen. Ushers, you may. for me. Way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Oh, it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows low with valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its
power.
Have we overlooked anyone on our left? If so, raise your hand. We don't want to overlook anyone. Or on the right.
Hatman Rav. I. La. Kaltum Namakti and Hassel Tumma. Ila thil komara hem haki ita. Ita hivu dinale dina. Kokabel dina faith the kom. Tun. Hivu le kom. Tenda un diehue ana orfa costa chaya laite ina shalaba lehin piati kabilule wa okulu tenau kishmi il komi hiv. Bilu, steu, dyna dy mi, dy breith a chadatha, dy hif le chom wach rabin, dy maes le chada un. Bwydw dy nal y dy grani.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Yeah. back to something new. A new choir and a new song. And I got a new knee. Hallelujah! Let us continue now in our worship by reciting the words of 1 John. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. If you have the Word with you, I want you to lift it high and say with me, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do, and I can have what it says I can have. My mind is alert, and my heart is receptive. Today I will receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed, the Word of God. It is the foundation of my faith. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. Hallelujah. Give him some praise then. Yes, hallelujah. It's a pleasure to introduce the pastor as he brings the Word to us today. I used to do this on a regular basis. And the pastor surprised me this morning. He said, I want you to do it this morning. So I hope I can remember the words. This is my Bible. Let's welcome Pastor Scott now as he comes and brings us the word. Message from the Bible.
Not going to keep you long. It's already noon, but I want to finish up our series. Please, if you haven't gotten the CDs for the last 2-3 sermons, please do so. Or go on our website and listen to it, because if you don't get the ones before it, this one may not make as much sense to you, because I've been teaching in series. And since we're going to be starting this Tuesday with Not a Fan, I have to finish up what we started. I don't want to start a new series that's not related to Not a Fan while Not a Fan is going on, because I will be preaching sermons that go right along with Not a Fan as part of this campaign. So I'm going to finish up today in dealing with the foundational things that I have been teaching on, because I realized, and it, as a result of fasting that the choir did a few weeks ago, and then going to their dinner afterwards, the Holy Spirit had moved on them, particularly the younger members of the choir, and they started asking pertinent questions about the Word of God that needed to be answered. And these are people who have already received Christ, but there were some basic things that they had not really grasped. And so in talking to some of the members, I realized that I've been teaching this Word for almost 20 years and pastoring for 13. So some things that I take for granted, there's a whole new group of people that have not received the teaching that I had done before. So first of all, know that the teachings are on the website, so you can go and pick up and catch up. But secondly, I want to make sure that those who say, I am a part of New Light, know, number one, that God is real. So we went through a teaching that showed you not using the Word of God, but using data that's outside the Word to prove the Word. And you'll pick that up if you go to the website and deal with that. Secondly, then, after we've gone through that series, that particular message, I taught last Sunday, on the Word of God, the Bible, that the Bible is real. So we have the knowledge that God is real and that the Bible is real. And since the two that we have, now I want to talk about the message that the Bible brings. Now, I'm not going to go through this too much in the book to teach everything, Because studying the Bible is a lifelong experience. You're not going to take a course or go to anybody's school and get whatever degree, be it a BSE or a terminal degree. It's not going to be enough because the Bible is not a book. It is the Word of God and the Word of God that inspired man. Therefore, it can never be finished. Stay with me. It's still doing its work. It's not like outdated encyclopedias. It's not like outdated science books that have to be changed because when new knowledge comes, you have to update them. It's ever going present. And what we're finding out is when we look in the Bible and find things that we don't understand, that in the course of time and prayer, that God then reveals to us what's already there. And we proved that last week when we talked about the fact that in the Bible, it tells about the process of when the sun shines on the water and it's lifted up into the sky and turns into clouds and then it rains. And that was all explained in the Bible long before mankind ever figured out what this deal was. And so instead of the Bible trying to catch up with man, Pastor, man's trying to catch up with the Bible. And the world would have us think, Jay, that the Bible is not real. The enemy would want us to think that the Bible is not relevant to us because there's a message in the Bible for us. And if we don't get the message, we can't operate in power. But if we get the message, then we start to operate in power, and Satan's in trouble. He's in trouble in every situation. He's trying to blindside us so that we don't stay in the Word, because when he keeps us ignorant to the Word, he can keep us blind and he can do what he's been assigned to do. And that's to kill and to steal and destroy. And I'll tell you, there are homes being destroyed not because of personalities. It's because people are not obedient to the Word, and many of them are not obedient because they don't know the Word. And there are churches that don't teach Word. There are churches who want to tickle you with good times and tell you about prosperity only and not tell you that thus saith the Lord. There has to be a standard, and the standard is the Word of God. If I were to ask two people to come up here and say, I want you to mark out 5 feet, the original marking for a foot was the king's foot, whoever the king was at that time. So if I asked a little girl to come up with a foot this long, and I asked Will to come up with a foot, and I say, I want you to mark out for me 10 feet because I'm going to use that to build a house. And so Will would walk and he'd measure out 10 feet, and the little girl would mark and she would measure out 10 feet. And now we're trying to build a house. But we can't build a house that's going to stand because we don't have a standard. And the Bible is our standard. Nothing can be built solidly unless you use the same form of measurement. And our society is messed up, jacked up, and all turned around because now we have moved away from the standard, and now we have something that whatever goes on is good. I was speaking to someone this other day, and as much, and listen to me, don't get me wrong, I love this country. I think it's the greatest country in the world. But guess what? Democracy is not God's form of government. Because democracy depends on the whims of the populace. That means whatever the majority says is supposed to be, Pastor, that's what is. But God didn't set us down here to vote on his word. He set us down here to abide by his word. He is the standard, and his word is the standard. And if we would abide by the standard always, we would not be facing the problems that we're facing right now. And that's not what's on the screen, and I probably won't get there. I'm just going to preach what he gives me. The standard is not there to be tampered with. The standard is there to be adhered to. And that's why from generation to generation, I even heard this morning on the news, they were on one of the talk shows, they were talking about a law that Florida had that they're going to remove. They said, you know, there's a law about cohabitation on the books in Florida. But they say, you know, that law is outdated. Therefore, we're going to move the law out because it's old-fashioned, it's outdated. Well, if the standard, we proved last week that God's smarter than we are. And if God put a standard and a mode of operation and procedures in how we're supposed to live, if he put it in place and then we adopted laws to go with it, now we're going to turn around and remove what the foundation that's been set by God himself. And it's going to, as always, turn around and bite us. So I'm going to say God is real. The Bible is real. And I'm going to give you in a few minutes just as much as I can before we get out of here. I'm not going to keep you long. But I want you to understand that the Bible's message has three basic components. Give me my screen, please. The Bible is a love story. It tells of a God that just loves us so very much that he puts up with our foolishness and gives us time to come into consciousness of who he is and then come into line with what he wants for us. Listen to me. God did not have to come for his own sake. God did not need to write the Bible for his own sake. God is the Word. He doesn't need to write the Word so he could read himself. He gave it to us, not for his benefit, but for our benefit. He loved us so much. The main character in the Bible is Jesus. And the Bible is written for you to let you know and show you how special you are. Next. Let's look at the first part. The Bible is a love story. And in John, there are three scriptures right together that emphasize that point. And those scriptures are John, starting with John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It goes on now with verse 16 that we all know, probably one of the first verses we ever learned. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He goes on to the next verse and says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He loved us enough that he gave his only Son to suffer and die in our place, not because he had to. Jesus didn't have to come. He's already an eternal lifer, but he did it because God's creation that he created in his likeness and image was in trouble, and he sent the Word in the form of flesh to show us how to live to get back to him. That brings us to the main character. The main character of the Bible is Jesus. Now I want you to get this. The main character is the person that is doing the activity that delivers the message. Jesus is in the Bible from the first chapter of Genesis to the 22nd chapter of Revelation. Although he's in the Bible was not written for him. It was written for us. Let's go on. Quickly, I'm trying to get through here. Amen. Genesis 3:15. First mention of Jesus in the Bible. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his head. In the beginning, we're looking at the word it. Now, if you look at the Hebrew, that also says H-U. And that means himself, meaning God. So God said, I will bruise thy head in the form of the person of Jesus. And we know prophetically that means that Jesus Christ went to the cross. He was bruised for our transgression. But death could not hold him. The serpent could not hold him down. And when he got up, he stomped on the serpent's head. First reference prophetically to Jesus. And in Revelation 22, the last book of the Bible, it tells us, then he, capital he, showed me the river whose waters give life, sparkling like crystal, flowing out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. The last chapter of the Bible in Revelation talks about Jesus. From the beginning to the end, Jesus walks through the Bible prophetically, walks on earth, and now is present in the form of the Holy Spirit, still doing the work that God assigned him to do. Lastly, but not least, the Bible is written for you to let you know how special you are. Listen to me. Stop going around bad-mouthing yourself. Stop going around letting people tell you what you can't do, what you can't have, how you can't live, what deficiencies you have. God made you in his likeness and his image. He didn't make you like a duck or a gorilla or a chimpanzee. He made you in his likeness and his image. Therefore, you are special. Tell your neighbor, I'm special. Tell him it ain't bragging if it's a fact. What did it say, Jay? I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And what's so good about it, God, when he made me, he broke the mold. Ain't but one me. I'm shaped like me. I walk like me. I talk like me. I snore like me. All of me is what God made me to be. And you don't have to be a hater because he made you like you. And you talk like you. You walk like you. You praise like you. You the only you that he made so you could be you for his glory. The Bible is a love story. The main character of the Bible is Jesus. The Bible was written for you to let you know, to show you you're special. In Genesis 1 and 4, listen to this. And God saw that the light, listen to me, the light, that it was what? Good. And God divided the light into darkness. Genesis 1 and 10. And God called the dry land earth and gathered together the waters and called the sea. And God said it was what? Good. And in Genesis 1 and 12, and the earth brought forth grass and herbs and yielded seed after his kind, and the trees yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God said it was what?
Good.
Go on to the next slide. 118. Hallelujah. And to rule over the day and over the night, to divide light from darkness. And God saw it was what?
Good.
21. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was what?
Good.
Verse 25, and God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God said it was what?
Good.
Now there's another verse. There's another verse, Pastor, that comes after that. And he stopped talking about just good. He stopped talking about just good. Go to the next one. 26. And God said, let us, Father, let us, Son, let us, Word, let us, Holy Ghost, make man in our. Our image after our likeness. That means, listen, we're going to create something that looks like us and has the potential to act like us. Matter of fact, we're going to create something that when it gets the same spirit, it will be like us. It will be God, little g. Listen to me. That's where we fall short as Christians. We look at ourselves as inferior beings. We've heard too many scientists say we come from monkeys. We look around and think that we're inferior, and we look and say, well, you know, we can't do that because we're inferior. God didn't make you out of any other primate. No gorillas, no dogs, cats, zebras, or chimpanzees. God said, I want you to know that I made you to look like me, and I'm going to give you a spirit in you so you can act like me. Therefore, you can do the things that I do. But we get caught up because we think that we're inferior beings. Somebody told us we crawled up out of the sea. The book doesn't say that. Hallelujah. Listen, until man came along, the angels were the height of God's creation. And one angel in particular was the highest ranking angel. His name was Lucifer. Now I'm going to get to the problem. Hallelujah. Ooh, I might not have time to get to the problem. y'all wouldn't get too mad at the pastor if he finishes today. Somebody gave me a half hour. Everybody looking at Jackie like, what you talking about? Half hour. Cut him off. Listen. Lucifer was the highest ranking angel. At that time, it was God and angels. And Lucifer, because he was head of the praise team. Lucifer would get up and he had the praise team kicking. But when he did that, all the others in heaven kept saying, glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah, God. And Lucifer got jealous because, like many earthlings, we said, I'm the head of the committee. It was my idea. I'm quitting the choir, Jay, because you gave my song. And so he walked, listen, he said, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, listen to this. And it covereth meaning he's above, he's over. And yes, God appointed him. He says, and I have set thee so. God said, I put you there. I set you above everything else. There's God, and then there's me, says Lucifer. But I want you to know, listen, from the beginning, God had already predestined, good God, that there was another being that was going to be made. And that being would not be below the angels. Satan had an attitude. Rebellion took place. And he get kicked out. Now his position has moved from second down to third place. Give me the next verse. Look at 13. And you said in your heart, talking about Satan, Lucifer, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above stars of God. I'll sit upon the mount of assembly in the uttermost north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will make myself like the Most High. Lucifer said, I'm doing all the work. I'm doing all this singing and I'm getting all this music together and everybody's just praising God. Well, what about me? Oh, yeah, messing y'all up. Thanks. I will make myself. Now, I'm going to reveal something to you as we go. Keep this phrase in your mind. I will make myself. Mm. And so now, stay with me. Don't get me lost here. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, go to the next slide. Hallelujah. Next slide. So that, now listen to this. Now, look at what happens in Genesis. Lucifer, whose name Satan, loses rank and position in the kingdom. Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea. Stay with me because this is important. Some of you may have missed this as you were reading a long time ago. Over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So that means that everything that moves upon the earth, God's man was designed to have dominion over. Job 1:7. And the Lord said to Satan, from where did you come? And Satan asked the Lord, from going to and fro on the earth. And from walking up and down it. Oh, wait a minute. God just told man that you have dominion over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Satan, where you been? I've been moving upon the earth. Did you know that when you're part of God and he's breathed into that Holy Spirit into your life, you have dominion over every living thing that moveth on the earth. Satan moveth on the earth. Therefore, Pastor, you have dominion over Satan. Because by definition, God said, I give you dominion over everything that moveth upon the earth. And Satan has many of us fooled. He tried to even trick Jesus, who is the Word. When Jesus went into his ministry and the Holy Spirit took him out and began to minister to him. And the 40 days in which he was fasting during being ministered to, Satan comes and says, I'm going to trick him. I cannot just grasp his dominion. I'm going to trick him into coming under my dominion, just like I did Adam. He said, you know what? I know you're hungry. If you're the Son of God, take these stones and turn them into bread. And Jesus said, you're going to trick me? I am the Word. You're trying to play tricks with me? You're going to try to take the Word and twist the Word and I am the Word? He said, Brother Dodson, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then he tried some other tricks, and this is the one that gets me. Listen to this. He said he took him up on top of a mountain. And he said, look down at all of this. Look at all the kingdoms of the earth. All you got to do is just bow down to me. Just, I will give you all of this. The biggest trick that man falls for every day. Every day we fall for that trick. That biggest house on the block. Just bow to me. I'll give it to you. Just cheat a little bit more on your income tax. That money you need, I'll give it to you. Just say you got an injury. Put on a whiplash collar when you're not hurt. That case You know, back in the day, we used to call them cases. I got me a case. Y'all act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. You're trying to go back on me. I'll give it to you. Satan does not have the authority to give you something that's not his. But yet, many times, we see a deficit in the flesh, and we freak out after knowing that God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. After reading the account of the prophet that said, I was once young, but now I'm old. And I have never, ever seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. Fear is the depleter of your faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Quickly. Matthew, look at this, Matthew 28. Jesus approached and breaking silence said to them, listen, all authority, all power of rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now listen to me. I'm about to take you somewhere. We're going to hit it and quit it. Listen to me. Jesus said, I have all authority. But look what he said, continues, that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 11 and Colossians 11. He says, we pray that you may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy. Verse 12 says, giving thanks. What did it say about with thanksgiving? Hallelujah. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is in the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people in the light. Amen. What's he saying? He said, God said, Jesus said, I have all power. And since I have all power, and you and I am the first of many. Come on. I'm first of many, brethren. I am the original Son of God, not born of the flesh. And when you receive me, you become a new creature. Nicodemus, how can I be born again? Can I enter into my mother's womb? No. You have to be reborn of water and the Spirit. And when we are born of the Spirit, now we become a new creature. And we now not only, listen to me, not only in God's family, we are the children of God. Jesus is the original Son of God, not born of a woman. Now we are the children of God. Therefore, we are his brothers and sisters, and we share in the power and the inheritance because we have the authority given to us by the Father because we are his children. That's the message that Satan doesn't want you to get. You're qualified. Tell your neighbor, I'm qualified to prosper. I'm qualified for good health. I'm qualified for a sound mind. I'm qualified not to walk in fear. Come on, go with me. Look at Job 7:17. The question answered in the Bible is this one. Because We know God is real, and we know the Bible is real, and there's a message in the Bible for us. What's the message? What is it? Why did he make a book that man can read? Why don't chimpanzees read this? We're made in his likeness and his image, therefore we can communicate with him, Pastor. And so he gave us a message, and Job asked the question. What is man that you should magnify him and think him important? God, why am I important to you? And that you should set your mind upon him. David picked up the echo and he said, you have made him but a little lower than God. Now in the King James it says the angel. But when you look in the Hebrew, that word translates into Elohim. That means we are made just a little lower than God. Therefore, Satan has been kicked to the curb and his pecking order has changed. It's God and the children of God and everything that man has dominion, and it's all in subjection to us when we line up with what Daddy says. Now, this really gets me, and I'm going to get you out of here. It says in Psalms, look at verse 6. Now, let me go. You have crowned him with glory and honor. Don't you dare walk around with your head down no more. Well, you drive an old piece of car, so I'm still crowned with honor and glory. And what you see is just a temporary thing. I'm not gonna sweat the small stuff because I am a child of the Most High King. And he has put all things under my feet. If you make it, you will see that he's prepared a place for me, not made by hands, in my Father's house. There are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for Bryce and Pastor and Pastor and Sydney and Judy and all of you who, under the sound of my voice, believe on me. That where I go, listen to me, where I go, ye will be also. So let me tell you, I'm not worried about my piece of car here, because when I take on my glorified body, I won't need any man-made form of transportation anymore. Hallelujah. What's the Bible tell us? It tells that we're going to be like Jesus. I'm going to move quickly. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, we are even here and now God's children. It is not yet disclosed, made clear what we shall be hereafter. But we know, say we know, that when he comes and is manifested, we shall, as God's children, resemble and be like him. And we shall see him just as he really is. Hallelujah. Move quickly. Let's go to the next one. I've done that. Move on. Hallelujah. Revelations 21. Then I saw a new sky. Listen. I am not worried about getting to heaven. Earth is not my home. Heaven is not my home. I know I got your attention now. Revelation 20:1. He says, then I saw a new sky, heaven, and a new earth. For the former sky and the former earth have passed, vanished, and there no longer exists any sea. And I saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, all arrayed like a bride, beautiful and adorned for her husband. done. Then I heard a mighty voice from the throne, and I perceived its distant words saying, see, the abode of God is with men, and he will live in camp tent among them, and they shall be his people, and God personally be with them and be their God. Listen to me. Some of us will have a temporary home in heaven, but you're not going to stay there, because God has prepared a place for you. And he said, I'm not going to dwell there anymore. I'm preparing a brand new earth. I'm going to destroy all of this, because in the beginning, I made a perfect place that I stuck Adam in. When Adam messed up, Satan thought he had things dealt with. But he didn't know that from the beginning, I had a remedy, because I know from the beginning what the end is. And so I'd already prepared that I was going to destroy the old and create the new. And when the new is there, you will be on a new earth. And guess what? It won't be long distance when you call me anymore. I'm going to be right there with you. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm going to finish with verse 5. Because we already talked about kings and priests. Haven't we learned about kings and priests? I want you to look at your inheritance here in land, verse 25. And there shall be no more night. There shall be no more need for a lamp, light, or sunlight. For the Lord God will illuminate them and be their light, and they shall reign. They shall reign. They shall reign as kings forever and ever, for eternity and eternity. Hallelujah. Let's stand and get ready to go home.